Emergency room visits are skyrocketing from the use of dangerous energy drinks. Are you next in line, suffering from fatigue, tiredness, or seeking peak performance?
Real energy.
Real. My fatigue was obliterated with a groundbreaking new product called Alta Rush. I feel the rush, and the best part is I've got real energy for peak performance. Alta Rush cracked the code to energy. Recently published studies show that ingredients found together only in Alta Rush increased energy an average of 45% in patients with chronic fatigue, and athletes experienced a 40% increase in stamina. Now that's energy. Visit AltaRush.com, AltaRush.com, AlterRush.com. Free trial samples are available for a limited time. Get moving again with Alta Rush, AlterRush.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. Not intended to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. Results may vary.
Hey, y'all, are you looking for Corolla? Some chocolate superfood with organic vanilla. Food-based vitamins keep you a healthy fella. Use your wife's credit card, don't even have to tell her. Go to Natural News Store, that's what it's there for. Get your superfoods, herbs, and a lot more. Feel young like you did before, and let Mother Nature's medicine work it like it's there for. I know you care for your health, therefore. Don't eat those GMOs, throw them out the back door. Don't stay poor with your diet if it's killing you. Enjoy your life with nutrition that's filling you. We got freeze-dried fruit that's organic. Super clean, superfoods, best on the planet. Blueberry, strawberry, even pomegranate. Yeah, it's ready to ship, and if you buy it, you can have it. Yeah, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Check out store.naturalnews.com for all your organic supplements and superfoods. Or call 888-959-6415. That's 888-959-6415 to order now. Coconut, maca, spirulina, goji berry, superfood protein.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars' dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring.
Welcome. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with vaccine researcher and author Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, now proudly sponsored by the Natural Farm Source in tribute to the late Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Go to homefirst.com and click on the store button for your source for vitamins A and C, probiotics, and other natural supplements to stay healthy naturally. We are live Monday evenings on blogtalkradio.com/KnowYourRightsHour. 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific times. And we are proudly rebroadcast at naturalnewsradio.com Wednesday afternoons beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific times. We welcome your calls during the live show. You can call in just to listen or to ask a question or offer a comment. That number is area code 646-478-0772. That number again, area code 646-478-0772. You can email us during the week. Dr. Tenpenny, that's drtenpenny@gmail.com, drtenpenny@gmail.com, and attorney@vaccinerights.com. You may or may not get a personal response, but somebody will answer you. Welcome. This is, my gosh, it's already February 9th, 2015. I'm vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips. And Sherry, I don't know. It's a pretty boring week, I think. What do you say we just shut the show down, call it a night, and go home? Maybe we'll come up with something to talk about next week.
Alan, on top of being an ace attorney, you're a stand-up comedian, too.
I'm sitting down. Trust me.
Okay.
I tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
Sherry, great to be here with you as always. We have, and this thanks to you, Sherry, really, we have a just such a timely guest. I mean, we never have bad guests on this show, but this woman is just so critical. Over the long term, but especially right now, I am just so delighted. Would you like to introduce her? And let's just bring her right on, unless there's something else you want to throw in here first.
Well, let me just preface this by saying that, you know, Dawn Richardson is the voice of freedom from Texas. And for Texas. And Dawn and I have been really good friends for 14 years. We've co-authored articles, but she's been behind the scenes. And honestly, she is one of the smartest, most brilliant people that I know. She can keep 80 balls in the air and not drop anything, and is really smart and very driven. And she is the voice of NVICAdvocacy.org and all of the states' rights and the states' bills that are going on across the country. And so the other night, Dawn and I were talking about a variety of things, and I invited her on the show so she can update everybody who's listening and everybody who listens to the podcast and the downloads on what you need to do, what's going on, and what you need to do to protect your rights. Dawn, we're so glad to have you here.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Alan. I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for doing what you both are doing, for being a voice for freedom and getting the word out to people. It's so important right now. I'm just going to start right off and say everybody who's listening to this needs to log in to http://nvicadvocacy.org. N-V as in Victor, I, C as in Charlie, advocacy.org. When you get on there, log in, register, and look at what's going on in your state. What we have is a compilation of the bills that affect your right to make independent, educated decisions about the vaccines that you receive or delay or decline or not get or whatever, however you want to word it to be correct. Everything is up there. In addition, we also have bills that when compiled with the bills that are going on right now to either eliminate or restrict exemptions to vaccines, there are also bills about vaccine tracking systems. These are computer systems run by your state government that put down not only in the database whether or not you get a vaccine, if you refuse a vaccine, some of these tracking systems are starting to record those encounters as well. And so when you combine the bills that are going on right now in this country to restrict or eliminate, and I said the word eliminate, repeal, get rid of exemptions for mandatory vaccinations, along with bills to force you into vaccine tracking systems, the effects of this on our rights are chilling, and we need you to contact legislators. So please go into NVICAdvocacy.org, see what's going on in your state. We have simple action items. We have contact information. When you log in, it automatically connects you to your state legislators so you know who to call. We'll tell you what's going on. We need you. We need lots of voices standing up.
Dawn, I really just want to jump in real quick here and reinforce a couple of points there. First of all, the vaccine controversy is such a multifaceted, inherently complex issue, but there are some pieces of it to me that just stand out as clear and somewhat simple. And one of them is that, to me, the primary place, certainly there are more than one, but the primary place where the rubber meets the road on this issue is in the state legislatures, because for most of us, that is where the laws are made that says who has to get a vaccine and when, and who can say no and how you do that. And the three of us were talking right before the show started, and I bet we're all three in solid agreement on this. This whole measles thing, a key reason or goal or agenda behind it is to set up this atmosphere of fear within which state legislators can now, of course, backed by the pharmaceutical industry, no doubt, introduce legislation to try and pull away the non-medical exemptions. And I have had a lot of people contact me, I'm sure both of you have as well, in recent days. People are really scared about this, and they're asking, what do we do about this? And so, Don, I not only admire you for all the work you've done and all the things you do, but I just want to add one little piece to that just incredible introduction that Sherry gave you, and that is you have a history of being effective at this. In Texas, and of course, providing incredible leadership for the entire country on this. The first place, anytime somebody comes to me and says, what do we do about this? The first thing I always say is go to the NVIC advocacy portal and sign up there. That may not be the only thing that you do, but if you did nothing else, that would be the thing to do. And you, and I think you and your husband did the programming originally. Now this is on Dr. Mercola's servers, I believe, if I'm correct about that. But in any case, I refer to what you guys have done as create the internet infrastructure for vaccine legislative activism. It is such a beautiful and brilliant concept, and the work you've done putting this together over the years has just been amazing. So I can't speak highly enough about it. I think this is just gives tremendous help and hope to us on the issue, because you've made it easy for people to be legislatively active, and I can't underscore how profound and important that is.
Well, thank
you, Alan,
so much,
Alan. You've always had a bent on legislative things. Don, what can we do to get, other than going to NVIC advocacy and signing up for the alerts, after we do that, what's the next step?
Okay, well, the first and single most important thing is for if you have any concern or fear whatsoever about contacting your state legislators, throw it out the window. Most people in state government are very different than the people in Washington. These people are accessible. They're not meant to be lifetime politicians. Some of them have a personal issue. They want to get in there for their district and get a bill passed to help their people out in their district. This is not a group of people that are unapproachable by any means. As a matter of fact, they're just about sick of lobbyists in general. They want to hear from their constituents. And so you'll find a much more welcoming attitude, even if they don't necessarily agree with your point of view. The one thing that I am stressing over and over again here, there are several legislators in your state that want to support you on this issue. In order for you to be supported, for them to feel comfortable supporting your position and fighting these bills that are removing exemptions, is for you to be logical, for you to be persuasive, passionate, but not emotional, not crazy. Use credible information, and that's what we provide on the NVIC Advocacy Portal. We provide talking points, recommended talking points, that are grounded in references that are facts. You're not expressing opinion, you're expressing facts. For instance, one of the things that's so important to bring up that a lot of legislators don't know is that the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program has paid out over $3 billion. The drug company lobbyists can jump up and down and cry all they want, but they can't say that's not true. That's on the government website. We give reference to that. Another fact, the pharmaceutical manufacturers for the vaccines and the doctors who administer them are exempt from liability. So if you get a vaccine and you're hurt, you can't hold them accountable. That is a fact. And legislators are bothered by this. If you're talking about a bill that's going to remove your freedom to say no and then nobody can be held accountable, who is responsible for making or administering these shots, that's a problem for some legislators. Another fact that the pharmaceutical industry and the Medical Trade Association lobbyists can't deny is that vaccines don't always work. They're not foolproof. They often fail. Look at this year's flu vaccine, the mumps vaccine, the measles vaccine, the pertussis vaccine. 2014 was the year of vaccine failure. And so that is something they cannot dispute. Another thing that is so important for these legislators to hear is that the pharmaceutical industry is rampant with fraud. Over the last 5 years, $19.2 billion in criminal and civil penalties have been paid to the U.S. government by pharmaceutical companies for charges of fraud. That is indisputable. So when these vaccine lobbyists say these parents are all emotional, they're crazy, vaccines are safe, vaccines are wonderful, look, that cause injury and death undisputable. And they're coming from an industry that has a track record of lying, and they've been held accountable. These are the types of facts that your legislators need to hear. We give them to you in simple bullet point form. We share with you how to contact your legislators. We have the contact information. It shows up right on the page next to the alert. You click on it. It shows the phone number. We go give you your web contact forms to your legislators. And you need to call them. You need to meet with them. The last thing I want you to do is email them. If this is important to you, you're going to get your butt in your car, get down to your Capitol or down to your district office, and you're going to talk to people. You make an appointment, and you talk to people. They have to see you in person. They have to see that you are a real person with real family, and you care, and you love your family, and you're there because you want them to do the right thing. I know that for some people that sounds like it's a lot, but what's your alternative if we lose these rights in the states? We all have to work and stand up. Sometimes all it takes is one person with one legislator, a real person, not a lobbyist. And that's what I'm imploring for all of you to get the urgency of this. Take the time and do it. Make it a field trip. Go out to lunch. Whatever you have to do, get yourself to your legislator. Call. Demand an appointment. If you can't get an appointment, demand a personal phone call back. This is a life or death issue for a lot of people. They cannot afford to get another vaccine or they'll be hurt. So please, please log into the portal and make that phone call. Make those appointments. And if you absolutely can't do it in person, send an email or send a fax. But do it. Don't wait.
Don, that was absolutely brilliant. That was brilliant. Thank you.
It was. I found that validating because I have learned from you in the past, and I find that I'm saying a lot of the same or very similar things here. I want to ask just a couple of quick follow-up questions. First of all, when you're putting out these talking points, is this something that's important to have summarized in writing and to cite the references as well to, you know, leave something with your representative? And then I have a follow-up for that after your answer to that.
I think the most important thing is to get in there and talk to them in person. You can print these things out and you can offer to email them to you with the references to follow up. But I think telling them initially why this is important to your family and then following up with these talking points, if you're lucky enough to get to talk to them in person, is the way to go. If you can't, we have all the hyperlinks in there for them to be able to look this up. The National Vaccine Information Center also published a guide to reforming vaccine policy and law. Our online version of it has over 200 references. If there's any question at all that your legislators come back to you with and they're genuinely trying to learn, you'll be able to find the answer in there, and it will be referenced, and you can give them the source references where they can go and they can click on the links and they can look at where these ideas are originating from, these facts are originating from. Again, I urge people not to talk with opinions. Use facts and demand your rights. The government is not set up to oppress a minority with the will of the majority. Our government was founded to make sure that minority views have a voice. And right now in America, the reality is most people don't know about some of the dangers with vaccines or the fact that we don't know what the long-term consequences of using so many vaccines are. So we are a minority of the population, but we deserve to have our rights, any rights for any pharmaceutical product that has the ability to cause injury or death, to be able to make an informed decision and choose what we're going to put into our bodies. If we can't draw the line at the barrier of our skin, where is it going to end?
Don, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. You know, and I want to say, Alan, before you put your extra question in there, I want to just build on one little thing that Don said about your right to refuse the current vaccine schedule, for which there are 14, 16 vaccines for children. There are 5 to 7 vaccines for adults. I just got sent to me today a paper that documents 300 vaccines in the pipeline at various degrees of development. Now, some of them are cancer vaccines, but many of them are DNA-targeted vaccines. They are for other pathogens, other viruses, other bacteria, so we could eliminate every virus and bacteria off the planet. 300 vaccines. So if we forfeit our right now to refuse, vaccination from the ones that are currently on the schedule, then by default, we are going to forfeit our right to refuse the next 50, 25, 200, 300 vaccines they want to give to us.
And, Sherry, I just want to interject here that that reference to that pharma magazine with those vaccines in development, it is hyperlinked in our bullet points. You could not have been more timely in bringing that up right now. I'm telling legislators and telling people who are afraid of measles that they need to turn around. They're looking backwards. They need to look forward at what's about to hit them in the face. Many of these vaccines are for STDs, they're for lifestyle choices, obesity, smoking cessation, every STD you can imagine. And the most important thing that people don't know when they're considering, oh, this isn't going to happen, they would never mandate this vaccine. Here's a fact. Again, we try and stick with facts here. When a vaccine comes out on the market, it's not automatically protected from liability. The manufacturer isn't automatically protected. The way the 1986 law is written, the vaccine has to be added to the childhood schedule in order for the company, the manufacturer, to get liability protection. This is why there was such a push to get the flu vaccine on the childhood schedule, because there were so many adults that were getting the vaccine and getting hurt. They were looking at a bunch of lawsuits. So they had to hurry up and get it on the schedule for little kids so that they wouldn't have to pay the liability claims against them. And so when you're looking at the future and all this stuff that's coming, there is going to be a lot of incentive to get those vaccines on the childhood schedule to protect them. So expect many vaccines to be added on the schedule. We need to preserve our right to be able to say no. Even for the parents who fully vaccinate right now, I can't imagine that there is a single person out there, except maybe a handful who's been behind all this, who would be comfortable getting all of the vaccines that are coming.
And the influenza vaccine, because it's given every year and there's been such a big push for it, now the injuries and deaths, the payouts by the injury compensation program in the last several years now for the influenza vaccine are more than all the other vaccines put together. It has really become such a nightmare with that vaccine in particular. But so here's my question, Don. I have this notion, this is sort of my thinking, which I hope is continually evolving, because I think in some ways anyway, we're dealing with unprecedented situation. I mean, legislative processes have been around for many, many decades, but the vaccine issue just seems to have so many aspects that are, in many respects, just unique to vaccines. So I really want your input on this, though, because my thinking is that, you know, some people want to put together all the information they can possibly come up with and find and just show their legislator, look how voluminous the information is that's out there, you know, challenging, questioning vaccines and so forth. And I feel like, you know, it took me, Don and Sherry, 21 years to get where I am on my learning curve. And thank God there are other people who have been able to go through their own learning curve quicker than it took me to get where I am today. But you're not going to bring your state legislator up to speed on the vaccine controversy in any sort of comprehensive sense in a 10 or 15 minute or half hour, whatever you end up with, you know, meeting. So my notion is that you pick out just a few really key points. And boy, the ones that you named already, Don, are the ones that are right at the top of my list. Maybe even just three or four key ones, and ones that you have mainstream, you know, references for, something that you can put together as kind of a soundbite, something that even a representative who is bombarded by people every day, all the time, trying to get their attention and get them to help them with their cause or interest or what have you, something they can wrap their mind around immediately, repeat to themselves or a colleague perhaps, and really get and digest right away, as opposed to, you know, here are six of the 50 books out there, you know, that they'll never, of course, sit down and read because they just won't have time to do that. Do you agree, or do you have anything to add or correct or clarify about that idea?
You are absolutely correct, Alan. What we are trying to achieve right now with the NVIC Advocacy Portal is consistent messaging that evolves over time to meet the marketing and the information that's being used to push and cram vaccines down our throats. So we have right now selected a handful of talking points that exactly meet what you're talking about for people to use in the state specifically that are trying to restrict or repeal exemptions. Over the next several weeks, you know pharma is going to push back and they're going to change their argument. They always do. We're going to send out more alerts and tell people, contact your legislator. They're so busy. They're not just hearing about this issue. I know for some of us, we eat and breathe and sleep this issue, but they're hearing about every possible issue. The important thing is for enough people to be saying the same thing over and over again, so that at some point it's going to hit them and sink in, and it's all going to depend on your personal story and if you happen to hit them at the right day. But if we consistently break down the myths and the misinformation that's being propagated by pharma and the Medical Trade Association lobby right now, then we're going to get through to some of these people. So you couldn't be more correct in saying that we need to take these handful of points and share it with our personal stories why these exemptions and our rights to be able to delay or decline the vaccine are so important to us. That's what's going to open up their hearts and minds. And then when they're open, you're going to hit them with the information, and they're going to be open to hearing it and understanding it. And if it's not you that gets through to them, it's going to be the next person. But eventually, if we all are talking on the same page with the same important message, some of them are going to hear it, and they're going to be inspired to speak up for us and defend our rights.
I don't know how you're doing it, Don, but you're achieving a small miracle here. You're actually starting to lift my depression.
That's really good. That's a good thing, Alan. That's a really good thing.
Princeton University just came out recently with a study, and I didn't look at it real closely. I just saw the article about it, but basically they concluded, and they used some sort of formal statistical method to come to this conclusion. So did it in the form of a formal published study, that the average American has zero influence on policy at the federal level. And basically, that's driven by the wealthy elite, was essentially the conclusion. Now, that's not going to be any, you know, shock and surprise to most of us in any sort of alternative arena. But, Don, I was just really glad to have you reaffirm this idea that the state legislatures, while surely there's some version or degree of that, I would assert, but nevertheless, it's a different animal or world. It's a different phenomenon, and you really have helped me to feel like, you know, more optimistic about this. So there's definitely people in North Carolina who are going to be organizing on a legislative level. Don, do you feel like the material at the advocacy portal and from the NVIC is pretty complete, and all people really need to do is go there and look at that? It certainly sounds to me like it's complete, and I know that you know your stuff in this arena. So as I keep saying, you or the NVIC advocacy portal is, I think, the first stop for people. But is there any need or possibility that you or maybe others should or could be trying to offer information in a way that would allow interaction, you know, webinars, or can people contact you? And I'm just kind of throwing out the general
Absolutely.
Concept.
We have, our contact information is on the NVIC advocacy portal. And in some states, we have state directors, and we're very fortunate to have Alan as our state director in North Carolina. We work together with activists in the states that know this issue, and we collaborate and provide support. And there are going to be individuals that maybe have a personal story that they may have some additional information outside of these talking points to use. My only strong suggestion is have it be something that's factual and it's not disputable. It's not a matter of opinion. It is a fact. If you can go forward with facts, that's fine. If it's something that supports your unique circumstance, you might have a child who's disabled and they need special services and this affects them a certain way, then you can use that information. But for the vast majority of people, this is a great starting point. We cover the basic facts. And be honest, if your legislator has a question and you don't know how to answer it, write to us. We'll get you the information and we'll get you the references. If you actually get in that dual dialogue back and forth with a legislator and you want them to talk to me, I'll set up a phone appointment, a three-way with you, and I'll help talk to them. We're here for you, and we want to make sure that we're getting this information and deconstructing this misinformation that has been propagated by the people whose positions, profits, and power are dependent on forced vaccination.
The only other question, I have one other quick question. We got to go to break here in just a minute. Sherry, I hope you don't mind me jumping in here. I don't mean to be sort of hogging the show here. I'm just so excited that Dawn's here, and I want to pick her brain while she is. Dawn, I have gone back and forth. I've really waffled about whether or not to bring up and focus on one of these talking points that you just mentioned, where you know, that the pharmaceutical companies, for example, routinely incur or get slapped with criminal fines, civil fines too, but criminal fines in the hundreds of millions, and as I'm sure you know, in some instances even there have been billion-dollar criminal fines. And to me, this is something that you can share quickly. It can be put out as a real concise kind of focused bullet point thing. And what I conclude from that, or the conclusion I want to draw to put with to legislators, if I even say this at all, and I guess that's my question, you know, do you want to go there? Because I brought this up with a state senator once, and she said, oh, you don't want to go there, you know, they'll shut down or whatever. And at the time, it was okay because it wasn't necessary for what we were dealing with at that point. But what I said to her was, okay, but you need to understand that ultimately this is the problem. And so I feel like I want to put that out there. I want to say to my legislator, look, this is a criminal industry. I'm not just saying this as an exaggeration or euphemism or whatever. I mean, here's the data. Here are the fines, criminal fines, hundreds of millions, billions, billions. And you, my representative, should not be partnering with an industry that routinely engages in criminal behavior. You, my representative, and the legislature should distance yourself from this and, you know, step back from their financial interests and look at, you know, the rest of the information and so forth and so on. Do you feel like that's a strategy that could backfire? Is it maybe too strong or too, I'm not even sure what the word I'm looking for is, too controversial, you know, for some state representatives?
What I think, Alan, is that there's a fine line to walk with it. I think the point to bring up is that there is definitely plenty of evidence to question the credibility of some of the things that the industry does. Is everything bad? No. There are some drugs that have saved people's lives. There are, you know, obviously people have benefited from some of the research and development in the pharmaceutical industry. That's without question as well. However, the question here is whether or not the state has the right to force the use of a product that not only is proven to cause injury and death in some people and the industry is immune from liability, but the industry also has a very long track record about lying about the safety or efficacy of their products. That's the question. It's not to say whether or not the legislator takes donations from pharmaceutical companies and whether that's a bad thing. We want to stay away from that because a lot of good legislators do take the donations because the obvious thing is they need money to run their campaign so that they can go and file good legislation and pass it. So we want to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. But the point to make is that the industry is questionable. They do have problems with lying and misrepresenting data. That's the indisputable fact. And I, as a healthcare consumer and as a parent, deserve to have the right to evaluate that and see if their standards match up to mine. Thank God we live in a country where it is possible to have higher standards than the government or the industry. And we need to impress that upon the legislators. We all have different ideas, but the fact is they have a track record. A proven track record of criminal and civil fraud, $19.2 billion in 5 years. And to caution on them, please do not make this a forced procedure. You have to allow people a way out if they feel that the product is not safe enough, effective enough, or necessary for someone in their family. Bottom line, they have no right to force it.
Dawn, go back to what you just said. I want you to reiterate that about how many fines and what period of time?
$19.2 billion. You remember Carl Sagan when he would say billion? Billions and billions. Not million with an M, billion with a B. $19.2 billion in fines. Just in fines for criminal and civil penalties for fraud alone in the last 5 years. On the NBIC advocacy portal in our recent national alert, I give a reference to that, and it's on a pharma exact website. And so this is not even somebody from the outside looking in. We have the information on there where you can see that it's true. And this past year was like a record year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but over the past 5 years, $19.2 billion. That's, again, an indisputable fact. Tell your legislators, $19.2 billion. I deserve to question a product coming from an industry that is, you know, that has these fines slapped on them for fraud, for misrepresentation about the safety and efficacy of their products.
And I
would,
add to that, and I know we've got to go to break, Alan. I'm just going to make one statement and let's go to break. You know, not only do they have billions of dollars in fraud, they have billions of dollars in backing. And so for anybody that accuses us in the trying to advocate for freedom of choice, freedom of decision as being all about the money, I think they ought to turn around and look at that in the rear view mirror also.
Excellent point. All right, we're gonna catch the break real quick. Don, thank you so much. This has been just enlightening, incredible, and validating.
Thank you.
Don, can we have you back on a couple more times over the? Because this isn't going to settle down anytime soon. Can we have you back on?
No, absolutely. Because things are going to shift and change. When they find that legislators are asking the right questions, they're going to shift their arguments. Remember, a few years ago, the argument was you have to get vaccinated because it protects you. When that was blown out of the water, okay, people who are vaccinated are getting the disease, then they had to shift their message to, oh, now it's time to get vaccinated to protect your neighbor. So they're going to keep shifting their message as we educate legislators and refute what their claims are. So this is going to shift. So we're going to probably, you know, have to change the message to respond and get the facts to the legislators to respond to some of the misinformation being put out there.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch the dance, see how they twist and turn. And just the fact that they change, if we are able to get them to do that, I think will be revealing in and of itself. All right, we've got to run to break here. We've got another caller on the line we'll get to right after the break. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Attorney Alan Phillips, NVIC Advocacy Portal Director and Founder, Don Richardson, with us here for the first half of the show. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around. Lots more to go.
Thank you.
Emergency room visits are skyrocketing from the use of dangerous energy drinks. Are you next in line, suffering from fatigue, tiredness, or seeking peak performance? Real energy. My fatigue was obliterated with a groundbreaking new product called Alta Rush. I feel the rush, and the best part is I've got real energy for peak performance. Alta Rush cracked the code to energy. Recently published studies show that ingredients found together only in Alta Rush increased energy an average of 45% in patients with chronic fatigue, and athletes experienced a 40% increase in stamina. Now that's energy. Visit AltaRush.com, AltaRush.com, AlterRush.com. Free trial samples are available for a limited time. Get moving again with Alta Rush, AlterRush.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. Not intended to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. Results may vary.
The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapy? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
We are back live with the Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Attorney Alan Phillips, and just a couple of quick announcements here. You can find out more information about Dr. Tenpenny, her books, and other information at drtenpenny.com. DR as in doctor, drtenpenny.com, Tenpenny IM as in Mary, C, tenpennyimc.com. You can do research about vaccines at the Vaccine Research Library, and it's those three words spelled out run together, vaccineresearchlibrary.com. And I'll let you know that on Tuesday evenings, the Vaccine Agenda Internet Radio Show, hosted by yours truly with various guests from each week, Tuesday nights here at blogtalkradio.com/thevaccineagenda, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific time. You can sign up for the Vaccine Rights e-newsletter at vaccinerights.com. Okay, I think that covers it. Sherry, would you do the honors, please, and bring on our next caller?
I will. I have a very special guest for everyone that's on listening to the show and that everyone who will be listening to the rebroadcast of the show. We're so grateful for what Dawn has already done. Now, our next guest is very special. This is Mr. Jeff Hayes, who's the producer of Bought. And Bought was all about GMO foods and about vaccines. And he's been traveling the country, and he's been across the world over the last few weeks. And I'm really proud to introduce Jeff as my friend and the greatest producer who has really helped us to get our message out. And he's moving on to another project, and he's been privy to some really important conversations about this measles vaccine, about our rights to refuse. And so with no further ado, I bring producer Jeff Hayes on board to talk to us about Bought and about what's going on in your world. Welcome, Jeff. Thanks for joining our show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I got to tell you, what's happening right now is just bizarre. This is the most orchestrated series of events. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. Reading the Wall Street Journal every day. The Wall Street Journal, why is the Wall Street Journal running a story every single day advising people to vaccinate their kids? They're not taking a business angle. They're not taking it. It's the Wall Street Journal. It's the most astounding thing I've ever seen.
That just sounds crazy.
So Jeff, where have you been recently? And tell the listeners about some of the conversations that you've had about what's going on with how contrived this entire message is.
I'm sorry, my phone cut out, and I missed the last thing you said, Sherry.
I know that you and I spoke earlier this evening, just briefly, about where you've been and you've been traveling and how you have heard messages and had conversations about two things. One is something you mentioned when we were filming Bought about the bots, the computer bots that are out there like hammering all of these sites. And the second thing is about some of the conversations that you've heard in the last several weeks about how contrived the message is and how we are trying to be suppressed.
Yeah, so this is it, and the second part, I'm questioning whether I can really talk about it. It's interesting. I was at an event in Santa Clara, California, 6 or 8 months ago, and I missed the dinner that came with the event, so I went out to the hotel lobby to eat at the bar, and because I was alone, they sat me at the bar next to somebody instead of at a table. And I'm sitting next to a woman who was at a big data conference that was being put on from Stanford. She was a she was there from Boeing. She was a psychologist working for Boeing in the robotics division. And so all of these people, they had seven different areas that they were getting together and talking about big data, and her part was about robotics. There was big data as it relates to medicine, big data as it relates to banking, and they had seven different groups. And after the conference was over, they all got together in one room, and each group was talking about what their group had come up with. And she's explaining, and this is the most amazing thing, that the big medicine group was talking about what a great job that they were doing. They had written a program that would scour social media, Facebook and Twitter, scour social media. And when vaccine misinformation was out there, again, this is according to her, vaccine misinformation was out there saying vaccines weren't healthy, then the bots would automatically respond with real data talking about how that one study had been completely debunked. And they were presenting this as an example of how big data was benefiting the world by answering this vaccine misinformation automatically and the proper use of big data. And as she's telling me this, I'm struck with, okay, what do I do here? She has no idea who I am. I just happen to be somebody sitting, you know, in a friendly face that she's telling the story. She has no idea I've spent the last year filming this movie, Bought, filmed at Harvard, filmed at MIT, filmed University of Wales and University of Kentucky and Purdue. And, you know, of all the people she could have been sitting next to, she's sitting next to me telling me this story. And, of course, Sherry, as you know me, of course I'm not gonna be quiet. And I go, you know, I can't believe you're telling me this story. But amazing, the stuff that we would think was pure paranoia, and it's, you know, and the transcripts of this big data conference at Stanford, you can order those transcripts, or certainly Stanford graduates can. This is, you know, they're very proud of this activity. This is, you know, I've never seen anything like this, when you have the President of the United States, then all of a sudden Hillary Clinton comes out and says everybody should have, you know, the case is closed, the sky is blue, the earth is round, vaccines are safe and effective. You know, then when you have politician after politician quoting this same party line, when you hear all of this conversation coming from these people and they're all saying the same thing, anybody has to ask themselves, how did this happen? How is it that they're all saying the same thing at the same time? It's like the dominoes have been lined up and have now been tipped over.
So let's spell
so
out
true.
Real
you,
clearly what
yes.
what your point is there. Let's just sort of ask if you could make that a little more explicitly, then rather kind of leave that implied. So you're saying, if I understand you correctly, that this has all been carefully orchestrated. Not that that would come as a shock to us or any of our listeners, but I want to point out, if I may, a quick parallel. Now I'm going to mention 9/11, and I'm not comparing a measles outbreak to the falling Twin Towers, but I see what's going on here in terms of the method. It's the same thing that went on in the medical world. Within 3 months of 9/11, the CDC was pushing the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, which was model law, on states all over the country, and they managed to get a majority of states to enact some part of this Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. And this act, and they were riding the wave of fear from 9/11. That's the comparison here. They're creating this measles thing, and now they're going to ride this wave of fear from an outbreak of all things when nobody has even died from measles in the U.S. for over a decade, and use this then, I think, primarily to try to make legislative changes, to try and pull out the non-medical exemptions. And there are already bills introduced in at least two states that I know of for sure, probably more, California and Texas, to pull away completely the non-medical exemptions. And it was very successful, the implementation of overreaching laws. Now, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, the portions of, of that law that got enacted in states around the country, there were many organizations, legal authorities, and experts saying these laws were overreaching, they were unconstitutional, they were lacking proper checks and balances. But when you create the wave of fear and you don't have any opposition, you can apparently ram legislation through. So it looks to me on that level like this is orchestrated, or even if in the absolute best case scenario, it was just a lucky thing that happened randomly and there were all these disease cases, they're certainly seizing upon it in the same way. It's really scary to a lot of us.
I don't know if it was orchestrated or if it was opportunistic. It almost doesn't matter. The metaphor I always picture is a boa constrictor. And, you know, if a boa constrictor is wrapped around you and every time you exhale, the boa constrictor tightens just a little bit. And all the boa constrictor has to do is just wait. Sooner or later, you take a breath and you exhale and they tighten a little more. And this is the nature of bureaucracy and government, is it's always there. It's always waiting, and it is always expanding its power. And as you know, as soon as we exhale, I remember after 9/11, I welcomed seeing armed National Guardsmen in the airports. And there was this sense of relief that, you know, okay, we're being protected. And it's in that scenario is when government naturally expands its power. I think what's being done here over, you know, good grief, my mom exposed me to the measles when my sister had it. She wasn't trying to kill me. You know, this is, you know, I watched the Brady Bunch episode again, the measles episodes. It was, you know, this was an innocuous childhood disease that, you know, helps train our immune system that suddenly has been turned into Ebola part two. I'm telling you the only solution I see to this, and a friend of mine who comes from the political arena says you can't change people's minds, but you can change the battlefield. And that's where, you know, this discussion, we've got to affect the culture. I produced this movie, Bought. We spent $1 million making it. We're releasing it for free on February 20th for 2 weeks, where people, I mean, and I don't know if you understand the profoundness of this. I mean, I literally spent $1 million of mine and other people's money on making this film. A year and a half of my life, it is a well-crafted, honest, intelligent film, and I intended to sell a gazillion copies of it, and we're going to release it for free online for 2 weeks. The only way I can see to make an impact is we have really got to start affecting the culture. People have to know what's being done, and it can't be shrill. It can't be coming from just the sidelines. We've got to do it in a mainstream way, and otherwise, again, the boa constrictor is always there. It's always tightening its grip.
What a great analogy.
Well, that is a really great analogy. And, you know, I found a document online the other day, and this was something that had to do with when Dawn Richardson, who was previously just on our show, was talking about how did it happen that suddenly it seemed as though this was an orchestrated affair, that suddenly all of these states had legislation in their drawers ready to pull out and put forward. And I said to Dawn, I said, don't you think that, I mean, it seems as though I remember that there are governor meetings, like once or twice a year, that there are governor meetings that come to that that they have, like all the governors get together. And she said, yeah, I wonder if it was hatched there. So I sat up about three nights ago until like 4 o'clock in the morning going through the national governor meeting site and looking at all the, they get newsletters that come out like once a week about all the different legislations that the different legislators are doing, I mean the different states are doing. I plowed through these documents and I got down to the bottom and I found a little link on the very last thing, on the very last page. And the link that I found was a document called Outbreaks, Protecting Americans from Infectious Disease in 2014. And I skimmed through this document, and I will tell you, and I'm going to release an article about this, hopefully tonight, if not first thing tomorrow morning, that this is an absolute playbook about everything that's happening right now. On page 75 of this document, it says, minimize vaccine exemptions, increase public education campaigns about the safety and effectiveness of vaccines, increase adult vaccination recommendations, boost immunization registries and tracking, increase provider education, make it be mandatory for people that are in the healthcare workers, not only the workers, but the providers and the people who volunteer in healthcare, that in order for them to be part of the hospital system, that vaccination of all the recommended and approved vaccines, not just the flu shot, but that they are vaccinated and up to date from all of them as a requirement of employment. I mean, the list goes on and on, and it's exactly the plan that has been hatched. Right now, we are watching it in real time.
Well, that clears up a lot, doesn't it?
Yes. And so what we need to do is, and I know we're right down at the close of the hour, and so Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on and talking about the bots and talking about what's happening with bot and what you're going to be doing in terms of releasing it for free just to get the information out, and then hopefully that we'll have like follow-up sales to support all of the money and time and effort you put into it. And I want to give another shout back to Dawn Richardson for telling us to go to nvicadvocacy.org, sign up and know what's going on in your individual state. I want to give a real push to Alan's practice, to what he's doing in terms of helping healthcare workers and other people. While we still have the right to refuse and we can hang our hats on the religious exemption, Alan is the absolute expert in this arena. And so if you need help with that, I appreciate it and love it that you contact me, but the person to contact is Alan Phillips. He's the expert in this. And so every week we have an opportunity to bring this thing forward. Put this on your calendar. Everybody that's listening, put this on your calendar, put it on your Facebook page. Get us more exposure because we are exposing things that you are not going to hear on the 6 o'clock news. You're not going to hear on your mainstream radio stations, and we need your support. And part of the support that you can provide for us is just spreading the word.
And Jeff, before we run out of time here, where can people go on the internet or otherwise to see bot and you know, when's that going to be released? And yes, what a saint offering this after that kind of investment to offer it temporarily for free. I hope people will take advantage of that. But I hope people will also appreciate that it was an enormous investment and consider buying a copy anyway, just so we can support this incredible work that you're doing, because we need for people like you to know that we love and appreciate what you do, and we'd love you to go out there and do it again or do more of it. And so we want to give you as much positive reinforcement. And one of the best ways we can do that, of course, is to make this something that's financially feasible for you and others like you. So where can we find this movie?
So you can, on February 20th, you can see it at botmovie.com, and people can go there and see the trailer there now. And register for our mailing list so they're notified on February 20th. I hope everybody buys a DVD. That's built into the equation. What I really hope is that we get this out there, they spread it while it's free to all their friends and their friends' friends, and we can start to affect this from the bottom up.
And that's exactly what needs to happen. And, boy, this is going to be such an incredible boost and contribution to help create that. Thank you so much for what you've done and for being here with us this evening to tell us about this. Sherry, any last 10 or 15 second thing you want to throw in here as we have down to the wire on the time?
About 10 or 15 seconds. Just join us here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and across the country and around the world. Re-listen to it on National News if you miss it. Repost it. Get the word out. We want to get this information out to you, and we really appreciate your support.
Okay. Well, and for those of you who called in and we weren't able to get to your call this evening, we apologize for that. Please call back in next week or email us during the week. We certainly want to hear from you and want to answer your questions to the best of our ability. We had a couple of special guests tonight, and that really kind of helped make it difficult to get to the phones. You've been listening to the Know Your Rights Hour, rebroadcast Natural News Radio Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific time. We'll see you next week.
Let no one trade your soul for dollars dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny.